You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
We are back. The final hour has arrived, and with all due respect to everybody else, my favorite guest has arrived right here. Coach Yo in the house.
Paul, you know how to make me blush.
I just insulted everybody else at my expense. Coach Yo, I was able to talk to you while you were on the West Coast last year. I mean, you took this program to the Sweet 16, and I just have a feeling that's going to be nothing compared to what's ahead.
There you have it. There you have it. Nah, thank you. You know you're my good luck charm, and so if you always let me know if you think we're going to be a bust or if you think we'll figure it out. In those first 2 years, you didn't say much. But then you started to speak life into the program, and we've been rolling ever since, so I'm going to take that.
Well, I've just had enough of Dawn Staley and all these other legendary coaches. It's time we have a new legend in the SEC, and I think we got one.
Thank you. You know, I mean, that the Southeastern Conference is the best in the country as far as I'm concerned.
By the way,
I
said that while Dawn's over in Paris.
Yeah, right. and it's people like Dawn and Kim Mulkey, back-to-back national champions in our conference that has made this place, this conference, this league, the best in the country. And so, you know, I have to do my part or because I don't want to get booted out.
No.
And I want to hold my own, you know?
You don't want to because there's too much to benefit.
Exactly.
And I know it's kind of a simple question because this really is an amazing university, but it's not easy changing cultures and building something successful. How do you do it?
Man, just really getting people that wanted to accept the four ends, Paul, just believing in, buying in, being all in and locking in to the vision of the program. And I always tell people, like, when they come to Ole Miss to play women's basketball, they come for three reasons. They believe in themselves, they believe in me, and they believe in the vision of the program. And I tell people all the time, we may not get the McDonald's All-American, but we like the Handy Andy All-Americans, too.
I think that I understand that. I mean, but I think in basketball, it's a little bit different than some other sports, where the head of the program has to energize and has to motivate. And I feel like you do that as well as anybody I know.
Well, Oxford is an easy place to fall in love with. You know, my family and I, we just love Oxford, Mississippi. And so that makes it easy. And the first couple years, I thought I did have to do a lot of just being the one to bring the energy nonstop. But now, you know, our fans are doing it. So the community is doing it. The players are doing it. And it's made it a culture, one to that everyone expects excellence when it comes to Ole Miss women's basketball. And I know the chancellor and the AD, they expect excellence from all sports. Think about it. You know, golf, national champs. You know, baseball, national champs. You know, football, 6-1. We'll be 7-1 tomorrow. All right, you heard it here
first. Got a prediction here.
And so we just been on a roll. Like, everyone's understands that, you know, our leadership expects excellence here, and that's what we're focused on.
When you're recruiting, and you know, if you're going after one of those elite players that everybody wants, how do you differentiate? Because you can't say this is better than that. I mean, how do you, is there a method to trying to, mm-hmm. to win. And that's not what you built your program on, but at some point you do have to get those
players. That's right. You know, that's funny you said that, because I was thinking about, you know, how we've built this program. And truly, we've done it with the 3.5 four-star kids. You know, we have one All-American, but our roster is not filled with it. I just think our staff does a phenomenal job figuring out who fits Ole Miss. You know, people that come here and are successful don't mind rolling up their sleeves, love being here. They have pride in representing the University of Mississippi. And, you know, I know it's easier to get that. If you get that five star, I'd love to have a couple of them. But, you know, we just try to get the five stars in our eyes. And those are people that truly believe in what we're doing here. And they got a little chip on their shoulder, too.
It almost doesn't seem fair, though, because I mentioned to you off the air, I talked to Asia Wilson the other day, and she was just in a long line of stunning players.
Right.
I see your colleague down in Baton Rouge has about 15 five stars now.
Right, right.
I mean, I know that you have to compete and sell your program, but when you, mm-hmm. it does seem at times, though, the decks are stacked against you.
Well, I mean, it's perspective, right?
Yeah.
You know, last year, if you looked at our team, we were kind of a lot of times seven deep, and we go into the number one team that was a one seed.
Yeah.
And we beat them, you know. So, but my seven really believe that they can beat them. And this year, that's not the case. I have more than seven, more depth. And I just think it's a process. You look at Don, you look at Kim, they've been coaching a long time. And so, you know, I try not to compare where we are to where they are. I'm more so just inspired by it. And I think if we keep knocking on the door, We'll get those five stars possibly, but if not, you know, I can live with it, because I really like the people that decide to come to play at Ole Miss.
I'm gonna get into a really controversial area here.
Uh-oh.
Because I've followed you and seen your social media game, and it's almost, I find it somewhat annoying that you hear the phrase, Lane Kiffin. Oh man, what a social media king! I think you're better than him on social media.
Oh. Lane, are you listening to this, Lane? I knew I liked you.
I mean, you don't have to resort to farm animals and dogs.
Right.
I mean, your social media is you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not you and Juice Kiffin. It's not you and whatever. Crazy,
you know,
games. And by the way, I have great affection for Lane, but I'm just making a statement right now. We come here, we make predictions, we make hot takes, and my hot take is Coach Yeo is better at social media than Lane Kiffin.
You heard it here first. No. I don't know that Lane's going to lose sleep about that. I just, you know, for me, I just try. I remember when I first got the job, I had a legendary coach tell me I'm on social media way too much and I need to focus on coaching.
Ooh.
And it was on national television.
Okay.
And I remember thinking in my head, like, this guy's an idiot. Because when I walk into homes, those parents know me because of my social media. When I talk to recruits, they feel like they know me because of my social media. And I don't try to be like anybody else. While I do think Juice is giving me some stiff competition lately.
I think Juice is funnier than Lane.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's super funny. I love his stuff. But I just try to be me unapologetically, and I let people in, and I was me when we were 0-16, and so I'm definitely going to be me after a Sweet 16 run.
Well, we are proud to be in your small little world here, Coach Yeo. Thank you. And I'm sure you tell your players this, be careful what you say in the media. Well, I've already said it.
I got your back, Paul.
When I see Lane Kiffin tomorrow, I'm going the other way.
You know he's going to give you a hard
time. Let's hear it for Coach Yeo.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, welcome back. As we are closing in on the final hour, we're already in the final hour. It was a week ago when Chris Doering joined us, and he made a lot of news. We'll get to that in a second. Chris, good to see you. Let's start with your reaction to the CFP on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it's about what I expected. You know, I don't think any of us thought that Georgia would be number one based upon, you know, who they had played, their strength of record. I actually was surprised that they were at number two, and I think that said a lot about the performance in their game against Florida. Not that Florida was a highly regarded opponent, but with the way they went about winning that football game, with the complete offensive, defensive, and special teams effort, with the way that they played incredibly disciplined, the fast start out of the gates with Georgia scoring on the first four possessions of the ball game, with them weathering the first drive that Florida had, like, it just told me, just from the eye test, that they were the best team in the country. And I understand they're going to have their opportunity over the next 3 weeks to move themselves up into that number one spot. So being at number two right now is not an issue for me. I thought one of the interesting things about it, though, Paul, was the way that Washington was ranked outside of the top four. I think they've had one of the most impressive seasons to date. I know they've struggled in their last two ball games. They may have the most impressive win on the resume of any of the teams in the top five. Oregon clearly respected as the highest one-loss team in the rankings. And then the top to bottom, the Pac-12 has been one of the most celebrated conferences from the beginning of the season in week one. So I was a little confused as to why Washington wasn't held in a little bit higher regard, perhaps in that top four in the initial rankings.
Chris, I appreciate anyone who goes out on a limb. It's so easy just to be prosaic and pick the favorites every week. But I am curious what you saw in Florida that almost nobody else did last
year. Yeah, you know, I think it might have been a little bit of the hopefulness, the Gator in me maybe, believing in some of the things I wanted to believe and letting that cloud my vision. You know, I thought that Florida had closed the gap a little bit with where Georgia was, but, you know, it's not a crime. There's a lot of teams that still have a chasm between where Georgia is and where the rest of the teams in the East are. It'll be an interesting game this week, and I know we'll talk about Missouri, but every time a team in the East tries to challenge Georgia, they pat them on the head and send them packing with double-digit wins over Kentucky, double-digit wins over Florida. So I do think maybe it was just me seeing some of the signs of growth in the program, wanting to be optimistic as a Florida grad, and maybe getting a little caught up with the Homer news that living in Gainesville sometimes leaks out. But at the end of the day, I think it was a great flex of the muscle by Georgia just to repeat just how dominant they are right now in this league.
Well, I'm sure nobody has mentioned it until now, so I wanted to be
thank
the first.
You. I appreciate you bringing that up.
Arkansas is in Gainesville taking on the Gators. What happened?
Yeah, kind of an opposite perspective for me, because I'm actually incredibly worried about this game for Florida. You come off the loss against Georgia where you're dismantled, maybe a little humiliated. You put a lot of emotion into that game, and certainly it's a physical game anytime you go up against Georgia. And you're playing against a team in Arkansas that's lost six straight games. They have nothing to lose at this point in time. They're backed into a corner, come out, play dangerously. Oh, by the way, with a new offensive coordinator, not that they're going to overhaul the offense, but what are the play calling tendencies? What is Kenny Guyton going to have up his sleeve? What are some of the things that he can use KJ Jefferson differently? I think that's the thing that I'm most interested in. Do they get him involved in the run game more? Do they use him outside of the pocket a little bit more? Do they take away some of that sitting duck kind of feeling behind an offensive line that hasn't blocked well for him this year? Those are the things I think you're going to give Florida a hard time. At the end of the day, Florida's played really well at home this year. I think they get the win, but I think it is a much closer, much more challenging game than a lot of the Florida fans think it'll be.
A&M, right here in Ole Miss, taking on the Rebels. What happens?
I'm not going to speak for you, but I was shocked that A&M was only a three-point underdog here. And as the more you dive into that line, I think it has a lot to do with the matchups within the matchups, right? I mean, that's so much about how games are decided, the dynamics of certain matchups. And I think the matchup I'm worried about for Ole Miss is the defensive line for A&M. Now, Ole Miss has gotten back to being that run-first kind of offense that we've known them to be under Lane Kiffin in the last four ball games. They've averaged 228 yards on the ground in those four games. But the game before that four-game stretch, they were held to 58 yards rushing. That was against the Alabama Crimson Tide. If there's any team in this league that's built similarly to what the Tide's defense is, it's the front seven of Texas A&M. I think it's going to be a tremendous test for Ole Miss's offense and for that running game. I think Jackson Dart's going to be under some duress. And I honestly think this is a game that Ole Miss lets get away from them. Despite being that debut in the top 10 of the college football rankings, I think this is one that Ole Miss goes down to the underdog.
Oh, my goodness. Texas A&M beats Ole Miss, and Chris Doering lays the smack right here in the Grove. That's Chris Doering, by the way. let's check in Missouri taking on the Dogs in Athens.
Yeah, we kind of gave a little bit of a prelude to the dynamic earlier, and while I give Missouri a ton of credit, they've come a long way. I certainly believe that there's a lot of confidence that this team has based upon the way they played Georgia last year. Look no further than turning the tape on and pointing to your defense and saying, look, we matched physicality with one of the best offensive lines in the country last year. We took it to the eventual national champion for about 55 of the 60 minutes of that ball game. We're better on offense. We've got a quarterback that's in full control. We've got a dynamic group of wide receivers. We've got a running back that brings some physicality with Cody Schrader. But I think at the end of the day, this is Georgia. They're playing between the hedges in Sanford Stadium. Every week I come on here, I think I've learned something the week before. What I've learned now is to not doubt Georgia. I'm not making that same mistake twice in a row. I think that Georgia ends up winning this game by double digits.
Okay. We end up in Tuscaloosa, where another narrow line, LSU, heading into Tuscaloosa to take on the Tide.
Yeah, again, styles make fights, and this is going to be a battle between what I think is the best offense in the conference against the best defense in the conference. And Alabama, with that front seven, really has to do a great job of not only the creating some pressure on Jaden Daniels, but also rushing with great integrity. And I mean, keeping him in the box when they rush the quarterback, setting that box around him to not allow him to escape when things break down. He's so dangerous with his legs. I think that's going to be one of the real dynamics that I keep an eye on. On the other side, though, you know, some perceived weakness for LSU, the defense. The secondary certainly has been flawed all year long. They're shorthanded with their top three corners out. You got Mekhi Wingo not available as well. I think Alabama, this is a great opportunity to reassert themselves offensively. If this game is a physical battle in the trenches, if they can run the football, if they can keep possessions away from Jaden Daniels and that LSU offense, and this game is played in the high 20s or low 30s, I think that Alabama is the victor. Now, if this game gets into the higher 30s or low 40s, that favors LSU. I don't know that Jalen Milroe can match score for score with what I expect Jaden Daniels to be able to do. But at the end of the day, I think if you can force some turnovers maybe at Alabama's defensive side, if you can force some field goals are wins against this LSU offense, then I think that gives Jalen Milroe and this offense a great chance to hang in there. And I think Alabama wins this game in Tuscaloosa at home.
Well done. Chris Doering joining us from studio as we are not done yet here in Oxford. What an afternoon it has been. We'll talk to a couple of local writers, one in the professional ranks, the other one a student reporter, as we continue.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here from the Grove, A&M and Ole Miss here, and Michael Katz rejoins us. The professor ran into one of your bosses over here earlier from the journalism school, and Cameron Larkin from the Daily Mississippian. Cameron, it must be great to be in the presence of such an esteemed writer and professor.
Of course, yeah. It's I just had a chance to meet Professor Katz, and he's really inspiring as a journalist, and it's kind of something that I kind of want to emulate in my own career.
That's smart, Cameron. I remember Michael when he was just a fledgling reporter, and now he's the Taylor Swift of this campus.
That's what I tell myself.
So Michael, let's talk first about this team and what we are really facing here tomorrow, because it's a lot of folks really are nervous about this game. Should they be?
I think when you look at the strengths of both teams, it is a little bit tough for Ole Miss. Not saying that they can't get past it, but where's Texas A&M really good? They're really good up front. And Ole Miss offensive line this year, they've already given up more sacks than they did all of last year. Mm. Jackson Dart is a magician at getting out of those situations. But it's going to be tested. And like a lot of your guests have said, this is going to be a game where Jackson probably has to make some really high-level throws down the field. He's not going to have as much time as he'd probably like, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how he responds to a pass rush that he, you know, Alabama was probably the most comparable in terms of talent and just athletes. Lane has talked all week about how athletic and talented this A&M team is, and he's not kidding. They're really good up front. So I do think that defense is going to make things really difficult.
And Cameron, this very talented team still has three losses, and that cannot be overlooked.
Yeah, it can't, but at the same time, you look at who they played and how they played them. They played Alabama better than Ole Miss did. They lost by less. They just played Alabama better, and so that's something that Ole Miss can't overlook, and that's something they're not overlooking. Honestly, they're treating this game like it's the Georgia game next week. Kiffin talked about not looking forward to the Georgia game, but kind of keying in on this game, and that's what the focus really needs to be.
I have to stop for a second because I've been a sports writer the first half of my career, and I don't know if in recent memory I've been with two sports writers who were both dressed as well as you guys. I mean, this is a slovenly profession that you guys belong to, and I'm really impressed.
I was always taught, look the part, be the part.
Yeah, had to clean up for the show, you know.
I mean, you can line up 1,000. I don't know if you could find 1,000 sports writers.
But not these days.
But anyway, didn't mean to get off the subject there. That they don't teach you that in broadcasting to divert from the main topic, which of course is this game. Let's talk about Lane Kiffin. I was telling Joe Tessitore during the break, as some of you may have seen. That Lane has been a little more low-key this week than the Alabama week. It just seems like Michael, he was a gab fest that week, and it all blew up in his face.
This does seem like he has been a little bit more subtle. And don't get me wrong, there have been some pointed remarks here and there. You know, the most talented 5-3 team ever. Bring up Texas A&M's bowl eligibility, things like that. But it was a lot more indirect. It was a lot more subtle. He was not taking direct jabs, anything like that. I think that where they are in the season right now, with the chance to really do something that I don't know if a lot of people thought they had a chance to do when the season started, looking at that schedule, I thought 8-4 would have been a pretty strong season. They're looking at a lot better than that. I think they realize that there's really no time to be making jokes and doing that kind of stuff right now. Like they got Georgia coming up, and they got the Egg Bowl in a few weeks after that. Messing around isn't probably going to help them anymore. And I think that, you know, Lane, he likes to have fun with that kind of stuff, but it did blow up a little bit last year, and we saw how things fell apart towards the end of the season. And I think with what they have going right now, why get in the way of it?
And Cameron, what Ole Miss has going is really rarefied. Kiffin did it a couple of years ago in this season. They went to the Sugar Bowl. But this is a rarity in Ole Miss football, what we were watching. Now, again, I was here a year ago for the old Miss-Alabama game, and I was saying some of the same things. I wasn't saying them after the Egg Bowl.
Yeah, this is probably, aside from the team a couple years ago, one of the more talented groups, one of the more together groups. Obviously, it's the second year with Jackson Dart, second year with Quinshon Judkins. It's a more healthy group. The offensive line has made strides this year that have allowed Quinshon to be who he is. And then the defense under Pete Golding has just continued to progress and continued to kind of dominate these games. And kind of when the offense can't produce, it's keeping Ole Miss in games and winning games.
Michael, I want to ask you about Pete Golding, which Cameron mentioned, because he was he wasn't technically run out of Alabama, but the most Alabama fans I know were overjoyed to see him leave. But Kiffin still hired him, and he obviously knows a lot about that Alabama staff. In fact, I don't know if anybody knows more about A&M and Alabama than Lane Kiffin. He's a student of both programs. So tell us about first of all, the decision to hire Pete and really what you've seen from him.
It was interesting as that was all happening, seeing the two different sides of Alabama scene saying, oh, thank goodness he's finally gone, and Ole Miss people being really excited that Ole Miss was making the investment. I think the biggest thing is that with the salary that Pete Golding is getting, I think it's showing the commitment that Lane wanted to see in terms of investment and things like that. I think the thing that's been different with this team, and I know the defense hasn't always been perfect. The LSU game, as Lane said, was one of the worst defensive efforts you'll probably ever see. LSU does tend to do that to people this year, but this is an Ole Miss team that, as opposed to last year, they could not win a game with their defense. They have won games in different ways this year. Previous years, it would have had to have been a shootout. They don't have to win that way anymore, and I think that's a testament to what Pete Golding's been able to do. He's done a really good job of making adjustments. He schemes well. You know, he's put personnel. Does he have the same type of personnel he did at Alabama? Of course not. Not yet, but he's figured out ways to manufacture a pass rush with what he has, how to get the best out of what they have. And you know, that game against Auburn, was it always pretty? No. The game against Arkansas, that was ugly for a little bit, but they won it with defense, and that's not something we've been able to say a lot with Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss teams.
We're talking to Cameron Larkin from the Daily Mississippian and Michael Katz. I want to ask you a kind of an off the path question here, but because Ole Miss has played at Alabama, and of course LSU here. That game, Alabama and LSU, is tomorrow night. Cameron, as you look at both of those teams, you've seen both of them now. How would you characterize that game tomorrow night in Tuscaloosa?
It's definitely a battle of giants. It's, in a way, fighting for who's going to win the West, barring any tiebreakers. And I think both those teams know that. LSU has one of the more explosive offenses, one of the more explosive quarterbacks in Jaden Daniels. And Alabama, they've just looked good ever since that loss to Texas. Yeah. Obviously, they beat up on Ole Miss. They're winning games, they're surviving games, and that's all you can ask them to do. They're running into LSU right now, and both these teams know that they need to win this game, so it'll be fireworks.
Michael, I mean, do you see an edge? Because they do look fairly even.
I think the way Alabama's defense is playing, this doesn't strike me as a game that's going to be in the 40s and 50s, no. But if it does become that kind of game, LSU clearly has the edge because, you know, Alabama, they've been playing better offensively. LSU's defense is not at the highest level as we've seen. They give up points and yards, but if it does become a game where it's down to the quarterbacks and making big plays late, LSU, I think, clearly has the edge, but I don't think Alabama's going to really try to let it get there.
Before you both of you go, I want to talk a little bit about Cameron, what you're doing here on campus and the intersection. Michael, of course, his main job is a sports writer, but you also teach here. What's it like today? I mean, obviously, you don't have any point of reference like we do, but to be a student reporter in this ever-changing media landscape.
It's, in my opinion, as fun as it's ever been. People, at least on the Ole Miss campus, they really want to give back to student journalists. The way we cover football, all of the football staff, Lane Kiffin, is very, very accommodating and very likable to the media as we are students. We get a lot of opportunities to work as student journalists through whether it's the School of Journalism or the Daily Mississippian. We just get a lot of opportunities to be journalists so early in our college careers.
And you've now seen it from both sides. You see it from the classroom and you see it from the notebook carrying grizzled reporter that you're really not, but you can act like you are for this interview.
Feels that way. I graduated 10 years ago and things have changed a lot from when I was in school, but I think the really cool thing for me has been, you know, Paul, in this business, you can get jaded really easily and you see a lot of things and you sometimes lose your why you do this, why, you know, sometimes it's hard to get excited about the job. And what the thing that's been really great about being able to teach is that you remember your why when you're around students and you remember why you love it. You remember your reasons. And as much as I've loved giving back and doing that, it's been really fulfilling for me too, because it's reinvigorated me a little bit. And I think that shows. And it's really been a privilege. I'm glad people listen to me. At least somebody does. But I'm really fortunate to be able to teach. And I plan on doing it. I'm going to be teaching again in the spring, and then I hope you'll be able to chat with my class again.
Well, I did it a couple of months ago, and it was really a blast. And I'll say the same thing that you just said, because I've been out of school a lot longer than you've been alive, and probably Michael as well. But it is inspiring to see young students, because they are not jaded, they are not cynical, they don't. They're not dealing with some of the other issues that everybody deals with in the modern mass media today, and it's inspiring. And I think it's great, because I frankly think your enthusiasm, Cameron, is great, because there's never been a more challenged time to get out of school. And I run into students every week, and they're always like, where is the next place? But It doesn't seem to have dissuaded you from getting into the field.
No, not at all. I enjoy journalism so much. I enjoy what the Ole Miss Journalism Program has to offer. I enjoy what our Student Media Center has to offer. It's just been a blast ever since I got here.
Well, I hope it continues, and thank you to both of you for coming by, the professor and the young student. I mean, are you 30 yet? I mean,
yes. I sure am.
You're already the old guy here among the students, I should say. Cameron Larkin and Michael Katz joining us. We'll grab a couple of phone calls to wrap it up as we continue here from Oxford.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus. You can listen and watch on the ESPN app.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.